Dan Carson and Jack Stump rode in together. Both of them were men of about 60 years, and both of them in excellent physical shape for their age. Both had come west as boys and had stayed to become legends. Unlike Big Bob Marsh, both Dan and Stumpy, as he was called, were not physically overpowering men, but there was a lasting toughness about both that marked them as men to ride with. Falcon left them to settle in the bunkhouse, and for Big Bob to explain the situation to him, and he walked on over to the ranch house. Kip saw him heading toward the house and joined him in the short walk.
I'd hate to mess with either one of them boys.
They don't take much pushing. My father had a lot of respect for them.
Your pa a mountain man, Val?
Not really. My grandfather sure was.
That explains a whole lot. So your family's been long in the West?
My grandfather came to the High Lonesome before the turn of the century, I think. And when my father came out here, he took to the mountains like he was born here.
Seated around the big table in the huge kitchen and dining area, Falcon laid $1,000 in gold and greenbacks on the table. John Bailey's eyes bugged out for a moment as he stared at the hard cash. $1,000 was 2.5 years work for the average cowboy.
That'll help with the wages for the men coming in, and to feed these randy yahoos. Because until you've seen mountain men eat, you've missed a sight.
How can I repay you?
Don't worry about it. I have ample funds, believe me. And by the way, I expect there are telegrams for me in town right now about how, stating clearly that I am now the legal owner of 20 sections of land north and south of the Rocking Horse Range.
John and Kip's eyes got bigger and bigger.
But how?
Miles claimed it, but he didn't bother to clear the titles through the bank or the land office. I bought up the mortgages and paid the taxes. It's all free and clear.
The Bailey family and Kip sat around the table and stared at Falcon.
You gonna start your own spread, Val?
No, but you can use part of it if you like. I thought I might sell or lease a few sections to farmers. But for most of it, I'm gonna let Big Bob and Jack and Dan and the others have use of it when they finish working here. Believe it or not, a couple of them are pretty good farmers.
And with that bunch on the land, the cattle barons will think a long time before attacking.
Who are you, Val?
Just a drifting gambler, Martha. I enjoy getting away from the deck of cards every now and then and doing some hard work. Well, the others will be here within a week. I'm going to ride over to the trading post in the morning and order about 4 wagons worth of supplies. Stumpy or Dan will probably ride with me. Anything special you ladies like?
Can't think of a thing.
Then I'll surprise you. I better go check on the boys. See y'all at supper time.
Man talks about thousands of dollars the way we talk about pennies and nickels.
His grandpa was a mountain man. He told me that not 30 minutes ago. But Val's pa come out later. I didn't want to push no further.
Well, whoever he is, he's a godsend. He'll tell us who he really is when he's good and ready.
I just bet old prune-faced Willard at the bank is beside himself.
And you can bet on something else, too. Whatever Willard knows, Miles Gilman knows it within the hour.
Something funny, girl? You got one peculiar grin on that face of yours.
I was just wondering what Miles' reaction will be when he finds out about Val buying all those sections of land. His attorney surely went through the state office to do that.
Well, I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. Might be days or even weeks before news of that reaches Gilman.
Don't bet on it, John, considering all the men at the Capitol who are taking money from the Cattlemen's Alliance.
Right again, Mother, as usual. Whichever way the wind blows, it's gonna be interesting around here from now on.
Falcon saddled up and was gone before dawn, Jack Stump riding along with him. The two men had fixed a cup of coffee at the bunkhouse and eaten a couple of cold biscuits before setting out. Stumpy was a man who usually had little to say. He wasn't a dour man. He was just a man who kept his thoughts to himself. He was no quick-draw gunfighter, but he made his first shot count. Falcon didn't really know how old Stumpy was. He guessed him to be in his early 60s. He rode a Palouse, a tough-bred mountain horse that could go all day and still have some bottom left.
Dan sure was glad to get shut of that woman. She had getting hitched up permanent on her mind.
Woman had 3 of the most worthless growed-up kids a man could ever see. I met the whole kit and caboodle of them before we rode up here. Sorry, bunch.
And that was the extent of the conversation until the men reached the trading post. They topped the ridge overlooking the creek and the store.
Yeah, looks like we're going to run into a crowd.
There were dozens of horses at the hitch rails, and the horses appeared to have been hard ridden. When the pair of rocking horse men drew closer and could make out the brands, they were unfamiliar to them, all but one.
That's Dick Wheelis's Mustang in the corral. I was with him when he caught it a couple of years ago. I don't know them other brands.
You can bet they're not drifting cowboys just passing through.
Falcon pushed open the rear door of the old store and stepped in, quickly moving to one side to allow his eyes time to adjust from the bright light outside. Stump stepped in and moved to the other side. The men stood for a moment, listening to the hard laughter coming from the saloon side of the store. They walked through the storeroom. The owner looked up from the counter and nodded his head, then cut his eyes to the closed door leading to the saloon. Falcon nodded his understanding and looked over at the half-dozen tables. A small man was seated at a far table, his back to a wall. He grinned at Falcon.
Howdy, you young squirt. Who's that damned ugly old reprobate trailing you? Or the hell, you midget. Been there. Didn't like it. Too damn hot. Steak's good here. Sit and eat. I reckon I could eat a mouthful of food. Considering the size of your mouth, that's about enough grub to half fill a hungry alligator. I don't know why I put up with this half pint. You ain't never got a kind word from nobody. Do too. I like the company you're riding with. And I'm sure he makes you ride 50 feet behind him, considering the fact you probably ain't had a bath in 6 months.
Falcon spoke in low tones to the store owner. The man nodded his head and looked over the sheet of paper Falcon handed him. The deal settled, and a pickup date for the supplies agreed on. Falcon walked over to the table and sat down with the two men. A younger woman, a half-breed that Falcon figured was the daughter of the couple who ran the store, brought over a pot of coffee and 2 mugs. She returned a few minutes later with 2 plates of food.
Woman ain't half bad to look at. You ought to see about cuddling up with her, Stumpy. Man of your advanced age needs a good woman to take care of him during his declining years. I'll be riding a high country when it comes time for you to use a ladder to get in your wheelchair, you half-baked buffalo turd. Huh? I'm scandalized. Such language in a public place.
Falcon just shut his mind to their insults, for he knew it would go on for hours, and kept one eye on the door to the saloon while he ate. Wildcat hadn't been kidding about the steaks. They were delicious. The meat was smothered in gravy, the fried potatoes tasty with spices, and the bread hot. Falcon ate slowly but steadily, for he knew that when the door to the other side of the store opened, odds were good that there would be trouble. The owner of the store walked over, glancing toward the saloon.
Hired guns. They drifted in about an hour ago. They bought several bottles and told me to get out of the room.
They ask any questions?
Shortest way to the Snake Ranch.
Falcon had looked around and spotted a rack of greeners on the wall. Mean-looking sawed-off shotguns.
How come you have so many shotguns?
Oh, I ordered them for the stage line that used to run past here. They went out of business before I could get paid for them. You want them? I'll make a real good deal.
I'll take 3 of them now and put the others in with my orders when it comes. And all the boxes of buckshot you have.
That's 3 cases.
Well, give us a handful each and put the others with the order.
When the door to the saloon area finally opened, the sawed-offs had been inspected and loaded up and were laying on the table, the noon dishes cleared away. Only a pot of coffee and 3 mugs remained on the table with the greeners. The hired guns took a glance at Falcon and his friends. Then they grabbed a harder look as they spotted the shotguns on the table. One of them beat it back into the saloon. Soon the mercantile side of the store was filled with men, most of them wearing 2 guns, some of them even having a 3rd six-shooter tucked down behind their belts.
Damn, he sure ain't much to look at.
What'd you say, Grandpa? If you was talking about me, speak up, you old fart.
If he don't watch his mouth, he ain't gonna have time to get much uglier either.
Now the dwarf is whispering, Bonnie.
Bonnie? Your name is Bonnie? Does your mommy know you're renting with such a rough crowd, my dear?
You making fun of my name, you old goat?
Let's put it this way. Anybody who would hire on with Miles Gilman and his bunch is low enough to crawl under a rattler's belly.
The hired guns were standing shoulder to shoulder, all crowded up in one part of the large room. Falcon could tell several of the older gunnies realized they were in a lousy position to start any gunplay. They started spreading out.
Stow it, or I'm going to think you boys are about to start something that's going to get a lot of you hurt.
Several of the newly hired mercenaries had confused expressions on their faces. They couldn't figure out what the three men at the table were up to.
You boys don't really want to sign on with the snake, do you?
Why not?
It might be real bad for your health.
Yeah, it's plumb unhealthy over on the snake range.
Folks keep getting shot.
The snake didn't hire us. We was hired by the N/N.
Noonan and his people?
Ah, the plot thickens.
Do what?
I heard that in the play once. I like the sound of it.
Who the hell is Plot? Is he part of the Cattleman's Alliance?
I'll explain later.
Don't you call me no heathen, you popcorn fart. I read books.
Hey, you want to talk to us?
Not really.
The store owner, his wife, and his daughter were behind the counter, ready to hit the floor when the shooting started.
Them three ain't got good sense. I think they're loco in the head. I'm out of here.
The man moved sideways toward the door, keeping his hands away from his guns.
I'm with you.
There were 10 left in the room, facing the three men at the table. Several of them looked as though they wanted to let the whole matter drop, but the younger guns weren't having any of that.
Have to be rocking horse hands.
Well, I'll just go to hell. The kid figured it out.
Took him long enough. I was beginning to wonder if Miss Bonnie was touched in the head.
Miss Bonnie?
Two of the men hired on at the snake began backing away, both of them holding their hands in front of them, signaling that they were out of it. They were old hands at hiring out their guns, and they realized there was something wrong with this picture. The three men at the table were too calm. That meant they'd been down this road before and lived to tell about it.
Well, I think the time for talking is over.
The only way you three is leaving is for somebody to carry you out.
Then go for your iron, boy, or shut your damn mouth.
Falcon and Stumpy threw themselves backward to the floor, greeners in their hands, just as Bonnie pulled iron and fired. Wildcat had ducked under the table in a move that had caught the hired guns by surprise, and he added his shotgun music to the deadly symphony of buckshot. The low-ceilinged room was filled with gun smoke. The wall separating the store from the saloon was splattered with blood. The shotguns had put every hired gun on the floor. Three were dead, nearly cut in half by the sawed-off shotguns. Two were wounded, and the others had all the fight ripped from them.
No more! We yield! No more shooting!
Falcon stood up, his eyes burning from the thick gun smoke, and his hands filled with .44s.
Get up! Leave your guns on the floor and put your hands in the air!
Those who were unhurt crawled to their knees, hands high over their heads. Bonnie was on the floor, shot in both legs.
Oh! I'm dying! I'm dying!
Shut up! You ain't hurt bad!
Oh, Christ, look at Manly's head! It's blowed most clear off!
Shopkeep, get their guns.
The trading post owner gathered up all the guns, being careful to avoid stepping in the gore, then quickly backed away.
You boys take a message to Miles Gilman. You tell him we can either live in peace and get along, or we can have the damnedest war he ever saw. It's all up to him. Now clear out and leave the dead men's horses.
Those few left alive helped the wounded to their boots, left the dead behind them, and scrambled for the door.
Shopkeep, you bury him, and you can have their horses and guns and money.
Deal, if you'll help me drag him out of here.
Done. You gonna get in trouble with Gilman for this?
Ha, not damn likely. The cavalry leaves patrol remounts here, and this is a stage stop. Gilman leaves me the hell alone.
Falcon bought several bolts of cloth for the ladies, some candy for Jimmy, and the three of them headed back to the ranch. Miles Gilman was in a blue funk. The news of someone buying 20 sections of land north and south of the Rocking Horse Range had just reached him, and he had gone into a towering rage. To make matters even worse, he had no idea who had bought it, for it had all been done by a bunch of lawyers in San Francisco and Denver.
The hired mercenary sent by Noonan came staggering in, all shot to pieces at the trading post by Val Mack and two old geezers.
Jesus Christ, what the hell is going on around here?
Martha and Angie oohed and aahed over the bolts of cloth. Jimmy chomped on the few pieces of candy his mother would let him have, and John, Kip, and Cookie listened to Falcon tell about what had taken place at the old trading place. During the telling, Jimmy sneaked a few more pieces of candy out of the jar and took off for the bunkhouse. The boy loved to listen to the wild tales of the older man.
He'll just send 10 or 20 or 50 more gun hands, Val. Do you and the rest of the boys plan on killing them all?
I don't think it'll come to that, John.
You don't know Miles Gilman, Val.
Puma Parley and Mustang rode in together a few days later, and the outfit was complete. Average age of the rocking horse hands, 60.
What a crew. I can truthfully say I don't think I've ever seen anything like them.
Nobody else has either.
Falcon noticed that Big Bob Marsh would occasionally take a long, slow look all around him.
Big Bob, what the hell are you looking for?
That damn beast of Puma's.
He left it back in the cave.
Yeah, so he says, but Puma been known to tell a lie every now and then, you know? Jenny's the sneakiest varmint I ever did see. Now, I bet you a month's pay she's around here close. Some people claim that Pumas is the dumbest animals on earth. Well, I reckon some is and some ain't. Jenny is one of them who ain't. That's a damn smart cat.
Mustang was a man of average height and weight, but like all men of the mountains, he was made of leather and rawhide tough. Any man who had a cupful of experience under his belt should be able to take one look at these men and give them a wide berth. Cookie found out that first evening they were all together about a mountain man's appetite. The average mountain man could put a grizzly to shame when it came to eating. Falcon spent the next 3 days prowling the thousands of acres of Rocking Horse Range, looking for cattle. What he found didn't surprise him.
Somebody's rustled about half your herd, John. No point in rounding them up for a drive. It wouldn't be worth it.
John Bailey sat down heavily at the kitchen table and rubbed his face.
Then I'm finished.
Oh, not at all. We'll just get them back for you, or make Miles pay for them. You'll have to delay the drive until next year, but you'll have your cattle back.
You and 6 old men are gonna do that?
Me and 6 mountain men.
The next morning, Falcon and 6 mountain men were up and riding towards Snake Range before dawn. Each carried enough grub for 2 days. Pockets were stuffed with cartridges, and their belt loops full. Within an hour of crossing onto Snake Range, they found a small herd of Rocking Horse branded cattle and started moving them back toward their own grass. The next hour, they came up on a herd of snake cattle with a lot of Rocking Horse beeves all mixed in and began cutting out those that didn't belong to Miles Gilman. 2 snake punchers soon rode up and stared for a moment.
What the hell do you people think you're doing?
Taking back our cattle. You get used to it. Because before it's all over, we'll cover every inch of Snake Range.
The hell you say?
Well, that's right. And when you people get your roundup completed, we'll be there to check brands.
I don't think so, mister.
I do. You want to argue about it right now?
The puncher thought about it for a few seconds and then shook his head. He was one of the few snake riders left who was not drawing fighting wages. He rode for the brand, but he had no desire to get himself killed.
Good. You and your partner can start these cattle moving toward their own range. That'll save us some time.
You want us to do what?
Get these cattle moving. They don't belong to you, and I just might get it in my head to hang you both for rustling.
Big Bob Marsh and Stumpy started forming hangman's nooses.
Now wait just a damn minute. We didn't rustle these cattle.
Looks pretty bad to me. I just can't abide a thief.
We ain't thieves.
Well, you work for a murdering thief.
And that's all we do. We ain't drawing fighting wages.
You still work for a scum.
We gotta work, mister.
That's a fact. A man who don't work is a bum. But I'll bet there are other ranchers around who need hands.
That's the truth, Dan. I heard Tom Gorman over on the Double Triangle was paying top wages for good hands. Why don't you boys head over there and tell them I sent you? After you push these cows back onto Rocking Horse grass, that is.
We do that and our lives won't be worth spit.
They will be if you stay out of town. Come the fall, you boys can have about $150 saved up. Then you can do what you want to do.
How about our gear back at the bunkhouse? We got breeches, shirts, socks, bedrolls, winter coats, gloves.
Falcon took a notepad out of his saddlebags and scribbled a short note, signing it Val Mack. He handed the note to the punchers.
You take this to the trading post and get outfitted what you left behind. It's on me.
Well, that shines, mister. Thanks. Tom Gorman just got himself some new hands.
You'll sleep a lot better now that you're away from Miles Gilman. Any others over at the Snake who might be persuaded to leave?
Three that I can think of. We'll probably run into them before long.
Same deal for them.
We'll tell them. Whether they take your deal or not is up to them. We'll get these cows back to the Rocking Horse.
Val, you watch out for Lars Gilman. He's looking to make a name for himself, and he's fast. Real fast.
Well, thanks for the word. I won't forget it.
See you boys around.
Real nice fellers.
The men spent the rest of the day on Snake Range. By the middle of the afternoon, had found about 75 more Rocking Horse cows. They decided to call it quits for the day and push the small herd back to home range. They had seen no more snake riders.
They was lucky, but you can bet that from now on, this range will be swarming with snake riders.
So we'll work the far north section for a couple of days, then move to the extreme southern part of Snake Range. There's no way we'll ever recover all the Jones cattle. If we can get several hundred, I'll be happy.
I haven't spotted no altered brands. I think the Rocking Horse brand is damn near impossible to cover.
Just as the man intended.
Yeah!
John and Kip were waiting at the corral when the riders returned.
Well, I had an interesting visit from a couple of former snake riders. They brought back about 30 head of cattle. They were on their way to work for Tom Gorman.
Well, we talked to them boys for a few minutes, and they had a change of heart about working for Miles Gilman. We could tell right off they was troubled about it.
I just bet they were. You boys decided not to spend the night on Snake Range, eh?
Nah, besides, we miss Cookie's grub.
Anything exciting happened while we were gone?
Quiet as a church. Well, I've been doing some thinking. I probably don't have to remind you, but the weekend is coming up. You boys wouldn't be thinking about heading into town to blow off a little steam, would you?
The town of Gilman is really jumping on a Saturday night.
It can get right crowded when it fills up with snake riders.
Tell the truth, I have been looking forward to a bottle and a friendly card game. We've been on the move since we heard from, Val here, and we just ain't had much time for relaxation.
I thought you boys might want to slick up and go in.
How about you and your family, boss?
Can't risk it. Gilman's tried to bum us out twice, but with five good shots here, he won't dare attack the house.
You want us all to stay? After what happened today, Gilman might throw caution to the wind and attack.
Nah, you boys head on in and whoop it up. But you know, of course, that you're gonna run into snake riders.
You're counting on that, boss. Counting on it.
Saturday afternoon, Falcon and the crew began slicking up for their visit into town. They all took turns in a horse trough, bathing and washing the cooties out of their hair. Then Cookie volunteered to give them all a haircut. They shaved and brushed and curried and combed and primped, blacked their boots and put on their best.
I swear I sure am a handsome fella.
You resemble a moose to me.
You mean I sort of remind you of that last squall you took up with?
To a man, they knew they were riding into trouble. And to a man, they didn't care. Fact is, they were looking forward to it. About 4 miles from the Rocking Horse Ranch, the men came up on a wagon. A man and a woman on the seat, several kids in the back, and two riders flanking the wagon.
Howdy.
Afternoon.
The outriders nodded at Falcon and the others, their eyes flickering over the various brands, because the men weren't riding Rocking Horse stock.
Joe Gray, I own the spread just east of Bailey.
Well, John speaks highly of you. I'm Val Mack.
Y'all heading into town for a bit of shopping?
Afraid so. Got to visit the doc and the apothecary. We usually trade at the old post, but this time we got to go town.
We haven't been to town in near about a year. It got too dangerous for us.
Because of Miles Gilman and his bunch of trash, ma'am?
Yes. And my name is Sarah. These are our children, Jack, Luann, and my boys.
One of the outriders was their son, Jack. Falcon guessed him to be about 17. Luann, 15, a comely lass, sat in the wagon with the other two boys, aged 10 and 8.
Well, if you folks don't mind, we'll just ride along with you and see that you're not troubled by any of the snake riders.
I can handle myself.
Now, I'm sure you can, boy, but it never hurts to have a backup do it.
I reckon not.
The young man was wearing a six-gun, low and tied down. Falcon had carefully dressed in his only good clothes, a dark suit with a white shirt and a black string tie. He was wearing a long duster to keep his clothing relatively clean, and his twin guns were covered by the duster.
Heard what you boys done for Tom Gorman. Kind of you. You see anyone else wants a job punching cows, send them over to Four Star.
We'll do that, Joe. How many hands do you need?
Three more do it for me.
The older man's name was Sal, and he was the foreman at the Four Star. He'd been with Joe Gray and family for years. Sal dropped back from the right side of the wagon and rode over to Falcon, walking his horse along the side.
Jack's a hothead. He's a damn good son, but he's got a quick temper. Thinks he's better with a pistol than he really is. The job of bird dogging him whilst we're in town falls to me. He's gunning for Lars Gilman.
Lars is mighty quick, so I hear.
That ain't all he is. He's twisted real bad. All them boys of Miles ain't normal in the head. They've all raped girls around the area. I hear tell that Miles don't believe none of them. Thinks it's all made up, but it's true.
The boys get it from their father?
That's the word I get. Miles likes to get rough with women.
The more I hear about Miles, the less I like him. How does the town doctor stand in this fracas?
You mean what passes for a doc? Oh, he's all right when he's sober. Had a couple of years of medical school back east somewhere. Boston, I think. He's dug a lot of lead out of a lot of men. I heard what you done to old turd face at the general store. I'd have liked to seen that.
You can't buy supplies there?
Not a pound of coffee nor a peck of taters. Mainly it's his moose-butted wife who sucks up the Miles. They got a worthless boy who gets all weak-kneed every time he gets around Miles' daughter. They think there might be a marriage someday. Of course, that vile-tempered, rattlesnake-tongued female don't even know he's alive.
I gather you don't like the girl.
I don't even think her daddy likes her much. Terry's a mean, spiteful heifer. She's just as twisted as her brothers. Whole family's nuts. Only one who ever had any sense was Miles' wife. She pulled out right after Terry was born, and nobody's seen hide nor hair of her since.
Sal eyeballed the crew who rode up with Falcon.
I don't recall ever seeing a meaner-looking bunch than this one. Mountain men, right?
Yeah, they're a good crew, long as nobody crowds them.
Town just might get real interesting before this day is done. I'd encourage the boss and his lady to take a room at the hotel for this night. Maybe have a meal at Rosie's, if it wasn't for young Jack. I don't want him to get killed.
You know the way it is out here, Sal. Boy straps on a gun, he becomes a man.
Both his pa and me has tried to tell him that. But it's like talking to a fence post.
Falcon looked up at the sky. Dark storm clouds were rolling in and gathering thick.
They might be forced to spend the night in town. We all might.
Well, the ranch house is covered. The cook and the one hand we got left could hold off a small army.
The town of Gilman came into view, and the group stopped on the crest of the short ridge that overlooked the building set on either side of the wide main street. There were only a few horses at the hitch rails, and the corral was empty.
Snake riders haven't made it in yet.
But they will.
I hope so.
You keep your distance when they do. And if you run into a pack of them, you keep your hand away from that gun, you hear me?
Jack didn't acknowledge his father's words. He sat in his saddle, a sullen look clouding his young features. No getting around it. If any snake rider showed up, there was going to be trouble. Young Jack Gray was primed and cocked and sitting on ready. Joe pulled around to the rear of the doc's offices. Falcon and his men stabled their horses at the livery. Big Bob and the others shied away from hotels, preferring to sleep on the hay in the loft of the livery. Falcon walked over to the hotel and got a room. In his room, he removed his duster and brushed off his suit, then checked his guns. The men had not seen his guns. He was wearing pearl-handled, nickel-plated twin 44s. Falcon walked over to the general store, and the shopkeeper and his wife almost fainted when he strolled in. But they both kept any sharpness from their tongues as he picked out a new hat and paid for it. His crew were over at the Stampede, having a bottle and arranging for a romp in the bed with some of the soiled doves. Then they would all go to Rosie's for a huge supper, and then back over to the saloon for more drinking and card playing. Joe Gray and his family were still at the doctor's office. Sal was leaning against a post in front of the office. From the saloon, Falcon glanced over at the bank. It was closed. He looked up toward the end of the street. The hired guns from the Snake had arrived. Falcon looked over at Sal and caught the man's eye. Sal shrugged his shoulders before turning and walking into the doctor's office. Falcon stepped back in the shadows of the awning and counted a dozen Snake riders riding into town. Some tied their mounts to hitch rails. The rest rode down to the livery. Before he could step out of the shadows, a half dozen more riders came racing into town, riding way too fast. Anyone caught out in the street would have been trampled. Falcon frowned at the careless and arrogant riding. The men tied up at the hitch rails in front of the Stampede. Falcon studied the brand for a moment. N/N, and the end of each N had a fancy curlicue, making it almost impossible for anyone to change it to a box X. Falcon waited. He knew the Noonan riders could not have possibly pushed a herd up to this part of the country that quickly. That would have been impossible. Nance was sending some of his men in to beef up Gilman. The new arrivals carried the 44 brand, Rod Stegman's boys. The man who married Nance Noonan's sister. The man whose holdings were nearly as vast as his brother-in-law's. And what Falcon had been able to find out, he was just as ruthless as Nance. Falcon stepped out of the shadows and walked over to the stage company's office. The noon stage had come and gone, and Falcon was interested in seeing if he'd received any postings from his attorneys. He had. Several letters, all addressed to Val Mack, and all from various attorneys in San Francisco, Denver, and St. Louis. One of the letters advised him that any and all warrants against Falcon McAllister had been withdrawn. But Falcon knew that while that was wonderful, legally speaking, there were still hundreds of wanted posters with his name on them tacked up and posted all over the West, and they would stay up for a long time to come. Another letter was from an attorney in St. Louis advising Falcon that he was several hundred thousand dollars richer due to the rise in value of railroad stocks. Falcon tucked the letters into a breast pocket of his suit coat and headed over to the Stampede Saloon. His men were sitting at a far table, playing cards and sharing a bottle, but actually drinking very little. Falcon walked up to the long bar and ordered a drink, conscious of many eyes on him. He ignored the open stares, concentrated on the shot glass. Trouble would start soon enough, he felt. No need for him to hasten it. All that changed when a local sidled up to him.
You see that big feller at the end of the bar, mister? He's been bragging for days. Claims to be one of the men who killed Jamie McAllister.
Falcon felt a coldness wash over him. He lifted his eyes and stared down the bar at the man pointed out to him. A big, burly fella, with swarthy looks and a scar on one side of his face. The citizen walked off to a far corner of the huge first floor of the Stampede Saloon. Falcon brushed back his coat, exposing both 44s, and stepped away from the bar, down to the inn.
I hear tell there's a man here claims to have killed Jamie McAllister.
Sal and Joe Gray and his son Jack were standing on the boardwalk outside the saloon looking through the windows.
I killed Jamie McAllister. It was a fair fight.
You're a liar.
It's
way I heard it, Jamie McAllister was shot in the back. Twice with a rifle.
No man calls me a liar, mister.
I just did. I knew Jamie McAllister. And no two-bit loudmouth like you would have had the courage to stand up and hook and draw against a man like him. So that makes you a liar and a back-shooting murderer.
I was there, mister. I faced McAllister and shot him dead. So you can take your mouth and go to hell. Or drag iron.
Make your play, back shooter.
Falcon holstered his .44 and stepped back to his position at the bar, signaling for the barkeep to pour him another drink. Outside, young Jack was standing with his mouth open, speechless. The mountain men returned to their card game.
Well, hell, somebody haul that body out of here. We can't have a corpse sitting on the floor, bad for business.
Two snake riders grabbed Rudd by the arms and feet. They towed him out and over to the undertaker's down the street. Falcon drank his whiskey and left the saloon. He nodded at Sal and the Grays and walked across the street to take a seat in front of the hotel. In only a couple of minutes, his crew walked out, booze and women forgotten for the time being. The six of them spread out all up and down the main street, taking chairs in front of the establishments or sitting on the edge of the boardwalk. They all knew that after the hired guns and the stampede knocked back a few more drinks and worked up their courage, they would be ready for trouble. A man walked up, all dressed in a black suit with a white collar. He was Reverend Watkins, the town's preacher.
Why don't you take your men and leave? How many more must die from your guns?
Just ride away and let the evil continue?
There are different kinds of evil.
Double talk, preacher. Words won't stop men like Miles Gilman and Stegman and Noonan and all the others in the Cattlemen's Alliance.
Who was that man that you just killed?
His name was Rudd.
That's all. Just Rudd.
That's all I know.
I'll pray for you both.
I'm sure I need some prayer, preacher. You better get off the street.
More people are gonna die this day.
Why don't you go over to the doc's office and see about Mrs. Gray and her children, preacher? I'm sure you could be a comfort to them.
Falcon watched as several men pushed open the bat wings to the saloon.
Get off the street, preacher. Right now.
Watkins hurried away, quickly crossing the dust and ruts of the road to the doctor's office. The guns of the Cattlemen's Alliance spread out under the awning and over the boardwalk in front of the saloon. Falcon knew they were sizing up the situation. More men pushed open the bat wings and crowded the boardwalk, spreading out left and right. Sal, Joe Gray, and young Jack had moved away from the saloon, down to the general store. The door to the general store was now closed, shades pulled down tight over the front windows. The town's 100 or so citizens had gone home and closed the doors behind them. Falcon stood up and brushed his coat back. He waited for the other side to start the dance. He cut his eyes left and right. His men had left their chairs and perches on the boardwalk to stand in doorways and alleys. Still, the hired guns of the Cattlemen's Alliance hesitated in hauling iron.
All right, snake riders, get your horses. We're out of here. You rocket horse and four-star men, just stand easy. We're pulling out.
Miles Gilman's men cleared the town in minutes and headed back to friendlier range.
Since we're bunking at Snake, I reckon we'll head on back too. That suits you, Val?
Suits me. We just came into town for a good time.
The riders for the Alliance pulled out.
You think they're circling around, Stumpy?
Yeah, I do. I figure about 2 hours, they'll slip back into town and get into positions to ambush us one by one.
Let's see if we can't turn this thing around to our advantage.
Falcon walked across the street to Joe Gray.
Gray, I think they're circling around. If you're going to stay in town, I suggest you get your family situated in the rear of the hotel and tell them to stay put.
About an hour after the hired guns rode out, the clouds began spilling over, dumping torrents of rain on the small town. The downpour lasted about 15 minutes, then eased off to a softer, steady rain. Sarah Gray and her younger children were safely tucked away in a far room of the hotel. while Falcon sat with his men and with Sal, Joe, and Jack in the saloon. Young Jack had his lips all poked out because he couldn't have any whiskey. He had to be content with a glass of sarsaparilla, and he was none too happy about it.
I reckon about one more drink and we'd all best be thinking about getting into position.
Hey, they'll be soaked clear through and mattered in hell.
Good night for what we have to do.
Might as well get to it. Sal, you and Jack take the hotel lobby, if you don't mind. Joe, upstairs, okay?
Suits me.
Sounds good. I'll be on the upstairs overhang with the rifle. Let's go, boys.
The trio exited the saloon to hit their position.
I'm glad to see the squirt gone. That kid is too hot-headed for me. That was good thinking. Sal will keep him in line and behind cover.
It's gonna be muddy and sloppy out there. We should be able to hear at least some of them when they make their move.
I'll be in the alley between the saloon and the lady shop. Good luck to y'all.
Falcon looked up at the sky. The storm was far from over, but for now the sky was only drizzling rain, the clouds producing a fine mist. Falcon pulled both guns from leather and waited at the rear of the alley. By now, his men would have spread out all over the town, waiting for the attack. Falcon's eyes had adjusted to the darkness, and he caught a dark blot of movement, the shadow darting from the two-hole outhouse behind the saloon to the single privy behind the dress shop. The shadow was carrying what appeared to be a rifle. Falcon didn't fire. The movement might have been a local citizen with a cane, although Falcon doubted that. The man Falcon had been following stepped out from behind the privy and raised his rifle. He was wearing a hat with a tall crown. None of Falcon's people owned a hat like that. Falcon drilled Tall Hat in the shoulder. The man dropped his rifle, one hand clutching his bullet-torn shoulder. He staggered back behind the outhouse, out of Falcon's line of sight. Falcon shifted positions in the alley, moving to the other side and crouching down to present a smaller target. From over the first floor of the hotel, Joe Gray's rifle fired several times. A man fell off the boardwalk at the mouth of the alley behind Falcon. Staying in a crouch, Falcon moved back to his original position. Falcon couldn't tell if the gunfire was coming from his people or some of the hired guns. A few seconds later, that was seven, as a man staggered off the boardwalk, both hands holding his belt. The hired guns didn't realize that with Falcon's men, they were up against a crew of highly experienced fighters, men who would live their entire lives on the razor-sharp cutting edge of danger. Such men were as calm as a stump in a fight, making no moves they hadn't proven out over years of harsh living. The shots had come from the lobby of the hotel. The four-star and rocking horse men waited, guns ready.
Let's ride! This ain't no good!
Falcon waited, suspecting a trick. A few seconds later, his suspicions proved accurate. He was facing the street, so his white shirt, soiled and wet as it was, couldn't be seen. His black suit blended in with the night. He waited without turning around. Falcon threw himself to one side, and the gunman behind him fired. Falcon fired just as he hit the ground full length.
Damn it!
The impact threw his aim off, and he missed. This time, it was no trick.
Anybody get hit?
Not one had gotten even a scratch.
Lucky. But we sure put some hurt on them gun slicks.
I'll get the doc.
Better get him to call for a carpenter, too. We got some dead.
Reverend Watkins walked up the street, Bible in hand. He knelt down beside a fallen rider.
Would you like me to pray for you, son?
No, goddammit! I want a doctor, you psalm-singing son of a bitch!
I'll pray for you anyway.
The town's doctor was working on one man who was sprawled out on the boardwalk. A local was holding a lantern. The doctor stood up and shook his head, then moved on to another man.
Get the rest over to my office. Come on, help me get them out of the weather and the mud.
Okay, boys, let's lend a hand.
Yeah. Then we can get back to the serious business of drinking.
The Cattlemen's Alliance lost six men that stormy night, and the doctors treated six others for wounds ranging from minor to serious. Two of those seriously wounded would probably not make it. Falcon gathered up all the pistols and rifles of the dead and wounded and stowed them in the back of Joe Gray's wagon.
Keep those for me, Joe. I've got a hunch they'll be put to good use later on.
The next morning, the violent storm had rumbled on past, and the sky was blue and the sun shining. Joe and his foreman and family headed back to the Four Star. Falcon and his crew headed back to Rocking Horse Range.
Joe's a good man, Val. He won't run and he won't back up. But his son? Jack is determined to tie up with Lars Gilman. When he does, he'll lose. Lars is just too good a hand with a pistol.
I suppose he'll brace me one of these days.
You can bet on it, son. If you're ever in town at the same time, Lars will call you out. You can get ready for that. What's on tap for tomorrow?
Round up more of your cattle.
So, Claude, any activity on those 20 sections of land that we just sold?
A couple of farmers moved in just north and south of the Rocking Horse Range. The boys report that Joe Gray visited each family and armed them to the teeth with the guns taken after that shootout.
That damn Val Mack is behind all this. John Bailey doesn't have enough cash or sense to pull off something like this. Will these sodbusters fight, you think?
Right down to the last drop of blood, Miles. I've done some checking on them. Both men are veterans of the Civil War. One fought for the North, the other for the South. And they won't hesitate to pull a trigger.
Well, leave them alone for the time being. It's too late for them to get a crop in anyway. Soon as Nance and his boys get here, we'll settle this thing.
Claude wasn't too sure about that last statement, but he kept his thoughts to himself. His last two cowboys, those men not drawing fighting wages, had pulled out and gone to work for the Four Star. The men he had left, hired guns, were for the most part a lazy, surly bunch. They'd been hired for their skills with a gun, not for their experience with cattle.
When is Nance supposed to get here?
Trailing a herd, so who knows? A bunch of so-called gun hands who blew in here said he told them to tell me he'd been delayed. They're really not much, are they?
Well, truthfully, Miles, they're probably better than average. It's just that the men they're up against is old experienced hands, and they don't waste lead.
Nance is bringing his main guns with him. I think things will change when they arrive. Claude, you and the boys keep an eye on Lars, will you? He's making noises about hunting up this Val Mack and drawing down on him. Lars is fast. He could probably take this Mack person. But a lot of things can go wrong in a gunfight. Just keep an eye on him for me, will you?
We'll watch him, Miles.
Hot-headed kid. And his sister ain't making things any easier for him. She keeps egging him on.
Claude knew some things about Terry he could tell Miles, but he knew better than to bring up anything bad about the apple of her daddy's eye. Miles went into a rage at the slightest hint of impropriety on Terry's part. Her father thought his little darling was still as sweet and innocent and virginal as the day she was born. Claude suppressed a sigh. If Miles only knew the truth.
It'll all work out, Claude. You worry too much about this Val Mack and those old men with him. If we have to wait until Nance gets here with his boys to settle this Val Mack's hash, so what? All Nance is going to do is complain, that's all.
Claude didn't immediately reply. He stood and fiddled with his hat. The foreman didn't like to discuss Terry, for he knew the truth about that wild little heifer.
Claude, you and the boys find any rocking horse riders on our range. You kill them on the spot, understood?
Consider it done, Miles.
Falcon and Puma were working the northeasternmost corner of the Snake Range. They were riding cautiously, and not just because they might run into snake riders. For even though an all-out campaign by the Army to end the Indian Wars was proven successful, there were still roaming bands of warriors looking to lift some hair. The two men had found only a few head of Rocking Horse cattle, and they had headed them back toward their own range. They rode deeper into Snake Range. They found five more head of Rocking Horse cows and got them walking and grazing back east.
That's 10 head for the day. Want to try for more?
I guess we better head on back, Puma. It'll be late afternoon time we get back as it is.
I was hoping you'd say that. Miss Martha and Miss Angie was going to spend the afternoon making bear sign, and my mouth's been salivating something fierce just thinking about it.
Just the smell of donuts cooking could bring cowboys riding in from 50 miles in any direction.
Well, I hope the boys leave you some, Puma, because I don't think we're going to make it back in time for supper.
Suddenly, Puma jerked his head up, his eyes sweeping the landscape. He twisted in the saddle, looking all around him.
Damn!
There were riders all around him, four and five to a bunch. The way they were positioned, escape for the Rocking Horse men was impossible.
I'm thinking about that cluster of rocks just up ahead, with that cold little bubbling spring smack dab in the middle. We got ammunition to plenty and cold biscuits and beef left.
Sounds like a plan. You ready?
Now! Yeah!
They reached the rocks and threw themselves from the saddle, grabbing their rifles and getting into position. Falcon and Puma settled in for a siege. They had food and water, and each carried several boxes of cartridges in their saddlebags, plus their belt loops were full. They could hold out for a long time. The Snake Riders had dismounted, taken cover wherever they could find it all around the upthrust in the rocks. There were several in an old buffalo wallow, several more behind natural depressions in the earth. Others were on the far side of the shallow creek behind the rocks. Left and right of the rocks, Snake Riders had disappeared into the tall grass. It was midsummer in Wyoming, and the sun was high and hot.
Gonna be a lot tougher on them boys out yonder than it is on us. We got a little shade and lots of cold water. They got the sun, and that's it.
Falcon took a sip of water from his canteen and then rolled himself a cigarette. Falcon and Puma didn't return the fire. There was nothing to shoot at. It was gonna be a waiting game.
Falcon, this may seem like a stupid question, but I ain't kept up with the news lately. Who is president of the United States?
It's Grant, isn't it?
Damned if I know. The last time I heard it was Johnson.
No, Grant got elected in 68 and got elected again. I guess we have a new president now. Why? You thinking of writing Washington and asking for help?
Hey! You boys out yonder, anybody know who the President of the United States is?
It's Ulysses S. Grant.
No, it ain't. We got us a new one. It's Hayes.
Hayes?
Oh, that's right. I recall reading about that. Rutherford B. Hayes.
I sure am behind the times. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There was no more conversation. Both sides fell silent. The sun beat down, and the trapped and their attackers sweated under its glare. Puma got up and took a long drink from the fresh spring protected by the rocks.
Oh, my! This here spring water is sure tasty. Anytime you boys want a drink, just come on down and help yourselves.
Funny, you bastard!
I thought it was right neighborly of me. I just hate to see a man going thirsty when there's water aplenty.
One Snake Rider got a tad careless and exposed a part of a leg. Falcon fired a bullet into it.
Ah! Thank you.
We gotta get him to a doctor!
Why, sure, boys. Three, four of you just amble on over to him and tote that suffering fella off into town. I expect that bullet's still in the leg and it might get infected. We wouldn't want that.
Why don't you boys surrender? You ain't got a chance.
And why don't you go to hell?
You're trapped. We'll get you sooner or later.
Any other time, those words might have been true, but not this afternoon. If they weren't back by dusk, the rest of the crew would come looking, because Puma wasn't about to miss chowing down on a couple of dozen bear sign. Falcon watched as Puma carefully lifted his rifle and sighted. He had spotted something that was out of place. After a moment, he squeezed the trigger, and a man suddenly rose up out of the grass, grabbing at his shoulder. Puma put a round in the man's leg for insurance. The wounded man's leg buckled under him, and he fell to the ground, out of sight of those in the rocks.
There's two that need a doctor. You'd best get them into town before they croak on you. They'd never forgive you if that happened.
You let us gather up the wounded and ride out without opening fire?
Why, sure we will. Go right ahead, boys.
You can all ride out.
Gather up your wounded and just ride out. We won't fire.
You go to hell.
Suit yourselves.
Over the next hour, a few shots and several dozen insults were tossed out from both sides. Snake Rider's horses, although ground-reined, had wandered off a few yards during grazing. The Snake Riders couldn't reach him without exposing themselves. It was a stalemate.
This ain't worth a damn.
Sure ain't, Ted. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, and I'm sweating like a hog.
Me too. Seems like we trapped them and they've trapped us. If they ain't going back to the Rocking Horse by dark, some people's gonna come looking. What do you think, Greeley?
What'd you mean?
This situation. It ain't no good.
You got a better idea?
I do. Leave.
I'm for that. We can't even see where them two are up in the rocks. This ain't getting us nothing but picked off one by one.
We go back now and some of us are gonna lose our jobs. Gilman'll be mad as hell.
Hell with it. I wasn't even looking for a job when this one come along.
Me neither. I've had a bad feeling about this country ever since that damn Val Mack come riding in. Then he bring in all them old mountain men, and things ain't been doing nothing but getting worse.
If they let me, I'm riding out of here. If Gilman wants to fire me, that's okay with me.
This bunch had no boss riding with them. Their only orders from Claude had been to find Rocking Horse Hands and kill him if possible.
You and the rocks! You let us ride out?
If you all go in a bunch,
we'll all leave.
Get your horses, then get your wounded, and ride out then. We'll hold our fire.
No one had been killed that day, and the men who had been shot, while their wounds were serious, would live. The Snake, N/N, and 44 Hands rode west. Falcon and Puma headed east toward Rocking Horse Grass.
You boys were lucky. They jumped the gun, that's all. Showed their hand in the worst possible place for them. I know those rocks in that spring. You could have held out there for a long time.
Me and Miles held off engines there all one day and night.
You and Miles?
We used to be friends. All of us used to socialize. Till Miles started getting greedy and wanting more and more land. Miles' foreman Claude and me was pals for years. Till he turned out just as mean as Miles.
We all went through the bad times together. Drought, engines, terrible winters. That's why this whole situation leaves such a bad taste in our mouths.
Miles' wife saw it coming before any of us. She warned me that Miles was changing.
Yeah, what happened today ain't gonna be good for us. Them boys that pulled out, some of them anyways, is gonna lose their jobs. And they're gonna be replaced with hard cases. This'll probably be the last time any agreement will ever be reached between any of us.
You're right about that, Puma. From now on, you boys stay on Rocking Horse Range. You brought back a lot more head than any of us ever expected you to find. That'll have to do.
The young stuff has to be branded anyway. We'll have work aplenty right here, close to home.
Well, in a few days, the additional supplies will be coming in over at the post, and they have to be picked up. We're going to have to patch up some wagons and haul it back here. That'll take a day or two. We've got enough work to last us for a time.
I reckon we can call this the quiet time before the storm.
Oh, it's going to bust loose. We haven't seen anything yet.
Have any of you ever heard of a gunfighter nicknamed the Silver Dollar Kid?
I have. He's crazy. He's just a kid, only about 20 or so, but he's killed a lot of men. Has silver dollars on his vest and gun belt and holster. He's vicious.
Nance Noonan is rumored to have hired him and about a dozen more to clean out the farmers in this area. Friend of mine from up in Montana came through here while you boys was in town. He was on his way down south of here to buy a herd of horses. Told me about this Silver Dollar Kid.
Well, he's quick, for a fact. But like so many fast guns, he doesn't really have good control. You can count on him missing his first shot 50% of the time. I wondered when Nance or Rod or Miles would start bringing in real shooters. Well, now we know.
These boys won't be making no stupid mistakes, neither. I expect we'd all better ride in pairs from now on, and Miss Angie doesn't dare leave the compound without an escort.
You're mighty right about that, Puma. John, you're gonna have to put your boot down about this.
I will. And I think Angie will understand the seriousness of the situation.
Puma and Falcon headed for the door to go back to the bunkhouse.
Getting serious now, son. You seen this Silver Dollar Kid work?
Once. He's quick. Just as fast as I am, Puma. But he counts on speed rather than accuracy.
And he's crazy?
Nutter than a tree filled with squirrels. Got a crazy laugh. Takes offense at anything and everything. You never know what's gonna set him off.
One of those. I don't even like to be around that type. Gives me the goosebumps.
Stay away from the kid, Puma. Pass the word on to the others.
I'll be sure to do that, son. You coming in now?
No, not yet. I think I'll take a walk around for a bit. I'm a little restless.
Want some company?
No.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Night, boy.
Falcon circled the house and walked down to the corral. The horses were restless. They sensed something amiss, but what was it? Falcon circled wide around and came up the rear of the barn. Hell was raising him in the stall. Someone was in the barn. Falcon stepped inside, pistol in his hand.
Don't shoot. I'm friendly. It's about time we met, Falcon McAllister.
I can just make out your hands. You move your arms and you're a dead man.
Relax, Falcon. I'm United States Deputy Federal Marshal.
Name?
I'd best keep that a secret for the time being. I was sent into this area to find and arrest you. But I never did believe what those warrants said happened over in Utah. I tried to pet that horse of yours. Bastard tried to bite me.
It's wonder you still have a hand.
You want to put up the gun now?
Not yet. Tell me more.
Long before the warrant on you was lifted, I started smelling the stink of all the rotten goings-on in this part of Wyoming. But I can't do much about it right now. It's all political, Falcon. Big money at work here, and big money puts politicians deep into those moneyed pockets.
Falcon holstered his pistol and started to move toward the man standing in the shadows. The federal marshal lifted a hand in warning.
Don't, Falcon. What you don't know can't be tortured out of you.
The Cattlemen's Alliance has done that to people?
Rape, torture, murder, extortion. You name it. They've had their greedy hands in it.
And the government can't do anything to stop it?
Certain elected and appointed people in the government won't do anything to stop it.
So the small ranchers and the farmers in this area are on their own, right?
That's the way it is now. Pretty much the way it's going to be for some time. Back east, the public doesn't know what's really happening out here. To them, this is still wild and woolly country, untamed. People don't carry guns back east, Falcon. They have policemen and courts and judges. That's how they settle disputes. But they need beef back east, and the big ranchers can supply it. The big ranchers have a huge voice back east when it comes to the press. The public is getting only one side of the story. And they will continue getting only one side of the story.
No immediate relief in sight?
None. And I doubt there'll be any help for years. The sheriffs in every county in the northern part of this state are bought and paid for by the cattlemen's cartel. You get no help from them.
Why are you telling me this?
I can at least warn you what you're up against. It's going to have to get a hell of a lot worse before the government will be forced to step in. And that will probably come about by an outraged public.
Small ranchers and farmers in this area have already written letters to the government.
That's trifling opposition. They never got past some obscure clerk in a dusty office. I'll be around, but for the most part, my hands are tied.
Falcon stepped to one side and the shadowy figure walked past him and out the rear door of the barn without another word. Falcon walked over to Hell and stroked the animal's nose. Anyone else who had tried to touch Hell would have immediately been missing several fingers.
Interesting little talk I just had, boy. But it damn sure pointed out plain and clear the direction the little man has to take against the Cattlemen's Alliance.
Falcon lit a lantern and inspected the still damp earth just outside the rear barn door. There were his own boot prints and the prints of a person walking away from the area. Those prints had a clearly visible V-shaped cut in the right boot heel. Falcon squatted there for a few moments. He wouldn't tell John Bailey or anyone else about the federal marshal. No point in further depressing the rancher. The situation was bad enough already. All Falcon could do was wait for the Cattlemen's Alliance to make the next move. All the hands stayed close for the next several days, for there was plenty to keep them busy. In the middle of the week, Falcon, Wildcat, and Stumpy hitched up teams to three wagons and pulled out early for the old trading post. Falcon had ordered enough supplies to last until the end of the summer. He had also ordered enough ammunition to start a war.
Oh, I never seen so many supplies in all my born days. I had to store some of them in the barn. I don't think them three wagons you brung will hold them all.
And then we'll come back another day for what's left. Soon as we finish this coffee, let's get them loaded up and get out of here before trouble shows up.
You expected trouble?
The way this country's filling up with hired guns?
Yeah, good point. You heard anything about the Silver Dollar Kid coming in?
I heard Nance Noonan hired him. Don't know if he's here yet or not. Well, let's get to work, boys. We've only got about 3 tons of supplies to load. And don't forget those shotguns and cases of shells, mister.
They're packed and ready to go.
The men worked for over an hour, packing the boxes and crates of supplies carefully for the long pull back to the ranch. They paused and looked up as the post owner came rushing out onto the loading dock.
Trouble, boys. Snake riders coming in.
How many?
About 10 or so. They don't ever ride nowhere excepting in a big bunch.
Something tells me we're going to be late getting back to the ranch.
Well, hell. I want a beer anyways. It's time to take a break.
Lars is with them, and he's primed for trouble.
Well, it should be interesting. Let's go meet Mr. Lars Gilman. It'll be my pleasure.